The process of photosynthesis goes back over 3 billion years. But in just the last 30 million years or so, a new and dramatically better form of photosynthesis has appeared. But it requires a considerable number of changes within plant structures to sustain it. And what Cambridge plant scientist Julian Hibbard wanted to know was in what order, if any, these changes needed to have occurred to make this so-called C4 photosynthesis feasible.
Photosynthesis is the mechanism by which almost all life on this planet is maintained, because it's the system by which CO2 is converted into sugars and carbohydrates. It provides our basic foodstuffs. Historically, it provides our fuel, because a lot of fossil fuels were laid down by ancient plants. And so we're interested in how a particular flavour of photosynthesis evolved about 30 million years ago, because it's actually more efficient than the ancestral version of photosynthesis.
So tell us about the two types of photosynthesis. What are they and how do they differ?
The ancestral version of photosynthesis, we think, evolved in bacteria about 3.6 billion years ago. And that uses an enzyme which fixes CO2 into sugars. And that enzyme never had to distinguish between the CO2 molecule that it now uses and oxygen, which is now present in the atmosphere. And the reason for that was those ancient bacteria weren't in an atmosphere with oxygen, but later on some more complex bacteria evolved which started to pump oxygen out into the atmosphere. And as a consequence, the photosynthetic organisms today have to distinguish between carbon dioxide, CO2, and oxygen. At the molecular level, they're actually quite similar, and so this poor protein, which is meant to fix CO2, some of the time makes mistakes and uses oxygen instead.
And that presumably reduces the efficiency of the process?
Yeah, and the efficiency is reduced the most in the tropics and subtropics, because there's a correlation between the specificity of the protein and its ability to fix CO2. And as you get warmer, it fixes CO2 less efficiently.
So how did evolution tackle that?
So evolution has tackled it actually on many occasions. In the land plants, we think at least 60 different lineages of land plants have evolved the derived version of photosynthesis that I work on. And there are other lineages which have evolved other mechanisms to concentrate carbon dioxide around this photosynthetic protein. And we've become interested in how what is actually a really complicated trait kind of evolved so many times, and the evidence at the moment is it's over 60.
When this trait evolved, what sorts of things have had to change?
In a C4 leaf, there are changes to the structure of the leaf itself, to the leaf anatomy. There are changes to structures within the cell, so cell biology changes, and there are also really distinct changes to gene expression and the spatial arrangement of photosynthesis within those cells in the leaf. So it's really quite a complicated suite of alterations which have to occur.
And your question is, in what order did those things crop up? Excuse the plant pun.
Exactly. So we are interested in whether specific traits occur early along that evolutionary path to C4 photosynthesis, or late, or actually whether they can be flexible, whether they can occur in some lineages very early on and some lineages much later on, but you still get to the final phenotype at the end.
So how did you do this?
What we did was we took about 73 different plant species, some of which used the ancestral C3 version of photosynthesis, some used this derived C4 version of photosynthesis, and some, remarkably, which have characteristics of both of those types of photosynthesis, but without the full syndrome. And we mapped onto those species which traits were visible in each, and so we characterize them as either having a set of 16 C3 traits, so that species was completely C3, completely ancestral in terms of photosynthesis, or another species might have 16 C4 traits, so it would be completely derived, and then in the intermediate species we'd have a mixture of some C3 and some C4 traits.
And I suppose if you look at the evolutionary timeline separating the ones which are fully C4 and those that are fully C3, you can ask where along that timeline some of these traits must have occurred.
Exactly. So we've estimated that some traits are very likely to occur early on in the transition from C3 to C4 photosynthesis, and conversely, some always come in at the end, but there are a few which seem to be bimodal, so they have different distributions. Sometimes they come in late and sometimes they come in early, which implies that there are many flexible routes for a plant, a photosynthetic organism, to move from this ancestral version of photosynthesis to this more efficient derived version of photosynthesis.
Putting all of your findings together, what then is the bottom line?
So what we discovered was that this complex system, which has evolved multiple times, is likely to have evolved multiple times because there are many ways of getting to the same end point. So many roads lead to Rome, I think, is a phrase which could be used to describe our system. This very complicated version of photosynthesis seems to have got there on multiple occasions because there are many ways to reach that final goal. The other thing that we infer from our results is that the initial environmental drivers for evolution of C4 photosynthesis is unlikely to have actually been improvements in photosynthesis itself, but more likely to have been changes in the ability of the plants to use relatively low water supplies or something like that.
Julian Hibbard from Cambridge University. You're listening to the eLife podcast with me, Chris Smith. Still to come, undead cells that can persuade their counterparts to kill themselves, and counting the numbers of individual RNA molecules to quantify rates of gene expression.